I'm Piper Wells, here for EAA Radio. Today I'm talking with Doug Ward, who flew 37 missions in the ball turret position on a B-17 in World War II. If you're not familiar with the ball turret, it is literally a glass and aluminum ball on the belly of a B-17. Doug's job was to shoot down enemy aircraft that would attack the B-17s. Doug Ward, it is a privilege and an honor to talk with you today. Thank you for taking the time. Tell us what you did in World War II.
Well, I was a ball turret gunner on a B-17. I flew 37 missions over in Europe, 15 out of Italy, and then we went up to England for D-Day, where I finished the rest of my missions in England. I was pretty lucky to make it back after 37 missions. We came back many times with our engine shot out or our hydraulic system shot out, and our plane shot up pretty bad, but we always made it back.
You were 92 years old today, but when the war first broke out, you were 19. How did you first find out the United States was at war?
I was only 18. I was just out of high school. And when I graduated from high school in 41, they tried to get us in the CC camp. And that was a civilian corps. And we didn't join. We found other jobs. And then all of a sudden, Pearl Harbor was hit, and it was 1942, and I was 19 years old. So I enlisted in the Air Force. I enlisted because I knew I'd be drafted, and I was 19, single, and I knew I'd be drafted, so I enlisted so I could get into the branch of service that I wanted to be in. And so that's how I got in the Air Force at 19.
I watched a video of the ball turret in action. This video was from a B-24, and the ball turret was retractable. Was your ball turret retractable?
Well, I trained in a B-24, but I trained as an engineer, not as a ball turret gunner. I went to Willow Run, Michigan, over in the Ford plant where they manufactured the B-24s, and I went through there as a crew chief. And then I picked up a brand new B-24 at Willow Run, Michigan, where they manufactured them, and we flew it to St. Paul, Minnesota, and that's where they put the Norden bomb sights on. And after being there, after they put the Norden bomb sight on and training on with that, we flew out to Wendover, Utah, and then I, at Wendover, Utah, I went to gunnery school, and I trained as a gunner, and then we went to Idaho, where we started to form our crews, and all this time I was an engineer, and I was supposed to be the top turret gunner, but I ran into a bunch of fellas that I got to really like, and they needed a ball turret gunner, so I asked my pilot if I could get off his crew and join their crew as a ball turret gunner. Well, they said, sure, you can come along with us as a ball turret gunner. So I didn't know. My first mission, I crawled down in the ball turret, and I had never been in one before, and I closed the lid, and I spun around in that ball turret all cramped up, and I thought to myself, what in the heck did I get myself into? But anyway, I got used to riding down there, and I got along okay.
Silly question, but have you been back in the ball turret since World War II?
I only got in the ball turret on the ground. Just they let me crawl in it, and they closed the lid. But I would really like to get in it. They got their B-17 here. They got a working ball turret, and I would like to get in it in flight and spin around a few times and try it out again.
What was it like being in a ball turret?
Well, you were all cramped up there. You were down in there for 6-7 hours, and you were all cramped up, and your parachute was up in the plane, so if you got hit, you had to get out of that ball turret and go up into the plane to get your put your parachute on to bail out, if you had to bail out. But other than that, you were down there, and it was quite uncomfortable at first, but as you got used to it, it wasn't too bad at all. But you were there for, like I say, for 6, 7, 8 hours.
You flew 37 missions in World War II. On how many of those did you encounter enemy fire?
We encountered flak. Flak was our biggest enemy. Fighters you could shoot back at, but the flak, you had to fly right through it. And flak took out more airplanes than fighters. That was the most dangerous, was ground fire from what they call flak.
Where were you when you found out the war ended, and what was it like?
Well, I was down in Texas when the war ended. If I can remember correctly, I was at a dance hall or something, and when they announced it, all heck broke loose, and people were really joyous. It was quite a celebration. People were whooping and hollering, and quite a relief to know it was all over.
Tell us about your scariest mission.
They were all scary, but this one, when I had to get out of the ball turret, come up into the plane, our hydraulic system was shot out. We were supposed to bail out, but the pilot says, I think we can make it back home if you want to stay with it. So we all stayed with the plane, and I went up into the front part, helped the engineer fix the hydraulic line that controlled the brakes. We'd already chopped the windows out, and we were going to throw parachutes out to slow the plane down. But I held the hydraulic line with a pair of pliers, and he had sufficient enough power to stop the plane. We made it back okay without any injuries or damage.
Obviously, death was a very real possibility for all the people in your crew. I'm sure everybody dealt with it differently, but how did you live knowing that every day could be your last?
I lost my best buddy, my high school classmate. He was 19 years old, and he was a P-51 pilot. And I was supposed to meet him in London for his 20th birthday, and I went to London, and he never showed up. So then the next time I got a day off, I hitchhiked over to his base, and I talked to his wingman. He told me that they were strafing an airfield, and they were so low that when he went to pull up, his wing caught in the ground and flipped him. And he said he looked back, and all he saw was a ball of fire. So Chris was my best buddy at 19 years old, was already an ace at 19, and he was supposed to have been the youngest ace of World War I and World War II. You can just imagine a 19-year-old boy fill up his airplane with gasoline and say, go get those Germans. And they didn't have any fear and any, they weren't married, they were single, and not a care in the world. That's the kind of pilots they like to have, were fearless.
I understand that you recently received a medal from the French government. Why were you just awarded it, and what is it for?
Well, that award goes way back to Napoleon, and it's quite a distinguished honor to get this award. Lindbergh got it, Eisenhower got it. I could go on and tell you all kinds of influential people that received it, and here that little old me got it for participating in the French, liberating the French.
You lived a long life since these days. How did your experiences in World War II as a young man shape the rest of your life?
Well, it gave me a lot of inspiration to pursue my goals that I wanted to do. I have my own airport, and I own 6 airplanes, and I still fly a little bit yet at 92. I think you do a lot of growing up when you join the Army. You got a lot of responsibility, and you grow up a lot faster. It's a good experience. I know there's kids from my hometown that if they hadn't gone into the Army, they'd have wound up working in the gas station or at the Super Value or you know, in the garage. But they got their education free, and they went on. One became a lawyer. Another one I knew became a superintendent of schools. And they all took advantage of the education they got. It really helped them, helped a lot of people in a lot of ways.
Do you think losing your friend in the war has changed the way you've lived those years?
It made men out of them. They went from youth to adulthood in a very short time because of the responsibilities they had to encounter.
Before I let you go, I would like to ask you one more question. You are 92 years old. What are you most looking forward to in the coming years?
My health is your attitude towards life. If you're an upper or if you're a downer, and I'm an upper, I get up in the morning and if it's raining, it's raining. Nothing you can do about it. And I tell people, it's your attitude. I mean, you got to be an upper. You can't be a downer and grump about things all the time. There's always a better side to life, so make good use of it.
My guest today has been Staff Sergeant Doug Ward, who volunteered for the ball turret position on a B-17 and flew 37 missions in World War II. Mr. Ward, it has been a privilege to talk to you today. Thank you for taking the time.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you coming and interviewing me.
For EAA Radio, I'm Piper Wells.